connected.
Magic.
Pay Ross.
I'm always sending this into Ross to do something, fix something.
You're not either?
I didn't try.
Oh.
But my iPad actually connects to the cell.
Oh, yeah. You do, are you connected with Wilmer Corporate?
I'm going to Wilmer Guest now. I'm gonna see what that does.
Let me try this one.
Didn't even look.
Wilmer Corporate?
That's the one you're supposed to.
Says I'm not connected.
I think I'm connected.
And that's the one you're supposed to use your.
No, use your username and password for the city.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, but not your full address, just J. Osmus.
Okay.
And then your password.
Password you used to get in.
Yep.
Do we have an email on that?
I thought so.
Yeah, like 2 months ago or something. Shouldn't it automatically be in there then?
Once you do it.
Once you do it.
If you have connect automatically selected.
Did. Okay, now where am I?
Okay, well, we better call the meeting to order just to stay on time, and I'll share with you if you want.
Yeah, there you go.
It's 5:15, welcome one, welcome all to the Public Works Public Safety Meeting, Wednesday, April 3. Call this meeting to order. Any public comment? Actually, first, let's go around, let's state who's here. Andrew Plowman.
Sean Christensen.
Audrey Nelson.
Fernando Alvarado.
Kelsey Del Basque.
Jim Felt.
Frank Hansen.
Julie Osmus.
And we also have the West Central Tribune here. One more call for public comment. Nobody is here from the public. So let's jump right away to public safety. Since Frank has a pressing schedule, let's go to Chief Hansen for fire stats. Chief Hansen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I actually have February and March because I was not here in February. So let's run through them very quickly. So in February, the fire department handled 25 calls for service, which brought it to a year-end total of 53 calls. We had 9 alarm activations, 3 cooking fires, 4 sprinkler activations because of the cold weather and the weather then, 6 vehicle crashes, 1 car fire, and 1 carbon monoxide alarm. The training for the month for our normal Thursday night trainings, we took Valentine's Day off, and we then did a search and rescue training, and then what's called a MIN fire training, which is basically mental health awareness training put on by the state. So that is for February. March of 2019, we had 19 calls for service, which brings us up to 72 calls for the year. 7 alarm activations, 1 cooking fire, 1 outside garbage fire, 2 smoke scares, sprinkler activation, 4 car crashes again, and 1 carbon monoxide alarm. So comparing calls, well, training for month of March, March 14th was hazardous materials decontamination training, and March 21st was confined space awareness, the classroom version. We'll be doing the hands-on version actually next week. So just comparison of calls for 2018 through the end of March was 66, and then for 2019 through the end of March was 72. So we are up about 6 calls from last year.
Okay, questions from the committee for Chief Hansen.
Are we seeing a lot of repeat business with a certain number of calls, or is it all, I don't know if fresh is the right word, but.
I think we see a lot of burnt food and a lot of smoke scares from apartment buildings. And we've tried to address that with bringing in some training, some education. And I think that we've seen that work, and the numbers are going down compared to what they were last year at this time. So
okay. That's good.
That's the trend.
So what I'm understanding is that you're training in the apartments throughout the...
We, last summer, I believe you attended one of the kitchen safety trailers. We brought HRA. Was involved in that, and we brought them to 3 different complexes in town.
Great.
And tried to cover all most of their clientele.
Sure.
Okay. So, and I think that helped.
Yeah, it was a good presentation. Thank you, Chief.
Just where are you at with firefighters? I think I saw you had a couple that graduated. Is that true?
Yep, we have, actually, currently we have 38. We have five that actually completed their training, all of their written skill, or the written testing and hands-on skills. Last written test was last night, and they all passed. And then in 2 weeks, I think it's 2 weeks, they have their training burn, where they go into a house, and we do some training burns in there. So then they will be fully trained for where they're at right now. So they're doing very well. We had a garage fire yesterday. Was it yesterday? I can't remember. Day before, whatever it was. And four of the five were there, and they did very well for us. And so I'm excited about them. They're young. Most of them are young kids. So.
Any other questions for Chief Hansen? If
You got a house then for the burn?
Somebody? We are actually burning in Pennock. For that one, but I believe there may be a house that the county owns in town that we're going to start training in, okay, and then eventually burn that this summer.
And he looks excited about that.
It's
any place we can go out and train,
there you go,
the better off we are. So,
the live fire.
Yep.
Further questions? If not, Chief Hansen, you have some place to be, so you may go ahead and excuse yourself if you wish.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you
for being here tonight. Stay safe wherever the road takes you.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to Chief Felt.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Before you are our monthly call for calls for service statistics for March. In doing a quick comparison between March of last year and this year, the total number of calls for services is relatively close, within five from last year. So far to date, as the end of the March, we've handled 4,346 calls for service. Numbers are fairly close, but just looking at a few that jumped in March of this year, one is abandoned vehicles, another are crashes that are both up a little bit, and that can be really attributed to the weather that we had this winter. It can also, there's a slight decrease in some of our traffic stop activity. That can also tie in with that too, that more time was spent working on crashes and calls like that, and less time working proactive traffic. Officers also dealt with more family service complaints. Some of that can be attributed to a lot of school and mandated reporting that also happens in nursing homes and things like that. Now that we've seen a steady increase on that, not all of them require a full law enforcement investigation, but they have to at least be screened through our office. And then a question that's come up at other times too is there's a noticeable increase in sex crimes listed there, and what that is are some pending investigations that our office has been gone through some training on human trafficking and operations and investigations of that type, and more investigations have been started. So that's what that really reflects there, is the investigations that are ongoing. So, in breaking down the numbers, our department averages about 50 to 60 calls for service a day that are handled. One thing that's going to be kicking off for the next 3 weeks here is the Towards Zero Death enforcement wave, where it's going to be distracted driving is going to be the focus on that. So looking at people that are especially texting, using the internet, talking on the phone, although nobody seems to do that in the car anymore. They're texting on the phone. So that's going to be an enforcement wave coming up, and probably about 90% of those hours that are spent on that enforcement wave are reimbursed by the state through a grant. So they're temporarily taken out of our budget, but then at the end of the quarter, the funds are brought back to the city there. So another quick update too is that so far this year we have two open positions on the police department, one from a resignation and one thank you for allowing an additional officer on the department to when we move people around for a school resource spot. So we have two current openings. We had two officers that submitted their retirements and will be effective on June 30th. We also have one other officer that's being backgrounded by a metro department. We don't know if or when, you know, he could be leaving for that, but it's a possibility that we're looking at. Where we're at in the hiring process right now, this all started with the approval to start the process back in January. We're finally up to the, we've gone through the written test, the verbal interview. Now we're starting the background investigations. People have to have their background packets turned in, where it's transcripts, where you have your bank accounts, who your friends are, all that kind of stuff. That has to be turned in on Monday, so our investigators will start hitting that hard. Right now, just because of the number of people that we'll need, they're going to be doing 6 background checks. So that's going to tie up a fair amount of time. Probably a realistic case scenario is we might be able to hire somebody on after a doctor's physical and their psych exam, if all goes well there. Get them started in FTO in June, which means that they could get the keys to the car and go on calls by themselves, hopefully by September. And that's fulfilling, at best, maybe 3 of those spots, because we don't have enough officers to field train more than, it's a stretch for 3. We can comfortably do 2. We figured out a way to do 3, but if we have 4 or 5 openings, we just can't do those all at once. So,
but we have a solid 4 openings, possibly. 5.
Yes, correct. Okay. Yep.
So correct. Get those 3.
Yep.
And then in September, do the next one.
That's the plan. Is full speed ahead there.
1 or 2.
Yep, correct. So, but you know, we've got a. I'm thankful to say, after going through the interview process and the testing process, we've got a lot of good, solid candidates this time around. Every once in a while, you scratch your head and you cross their name off right after the interview and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was nobody like that this time. The police commission went through, and they did, out of the 17 that interviewed, they took the top 13 and left them on the list. The bottom 4, they just decided that they would be ineligible for hiring, mainly because of their combined scores and where they sat in the process. But you know, we had already had one individual pull his name of the top individuals that, so we're going one deeper on the list now. So numbers 2 through 7 are getting background packets. So
number 1 took a job someplace else.
Number 1 opted out.
Oh.
Yeah, I got that phone call and letter yesterday. So
it wasn't just one of the top. It was the top.
It was the top.
Score.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is kind of in the. He wasn't hired elsewhere, but from the time that the test happened until the interview happened, one of the candidates had already been hired elsewhere. So he opted out right away in the process, mm-hmm. as soon as he knew. So it's a kind of a dynamic group to try and hire from. Mm-hmm. Too. Mm-hmm. That.
So you lost 2 then.
From the very beginning,
the
yes.
Very beginning,
okay. Yep, correct. Yeah. So
yeah.
Does it seem is hiring kind of like it is elsewhere right now, difficult because there are so many openings across the state? A lot of qualified individuals, but hard to recruit.
For law enforcement, I think there's fewer people going into it and completing the college and the necessary requirements. So it's a smaller pool to start with. And then when we put the Willmar Police Department ad on it's the post or the police officer standards and training website, that anywhere in the state, that's a real good place to search for people. In the past, there would maybe be 3, 4, 5 departments at a time that would have their names up there. When we put ours on there, there are 26 other departments that were looking for officers. And part of it is you're sometimes competing against some of these, you know, the St. Paul's, the Maple Woods, the Maple Groves, you know, there is a certain desire from a fair number of people to work in the metro for whatever reason. So,
yeah.
And the State Patrol is really recruiting hard too. You know, so, you know.
Questions?
So, just curious,
yeah.
if we're having issues, are in our smaller communities, mm-hmm. harder issues, or are there some people who are just choosing small communities?
The smaller communities are really struggling. You know, we've got a region 6 chiefs group that meets, and we're in the region 6 here, and just talking with like the Ortonville chief, the Clara City chief, the Montevideo chief, that those departments are really hurting. Even you know, like Clara City and Appleton and places like that, just to get some part-timers to fill some gaps, they're having troubles. And their big problem is they'll hire somebody on part-time, and then a place like Willmar will steal them away,
mm-hmm.
you know, after they've been there for 6 months. So, and I did figure out real rough numbers that for us, from the time we advertise until we have give somebody the keys to take the first call on their own. The city of Willmar has invested over $40,000 into that person in uniforms and training time in their psychological exam, doctors, physical testing, and everything like that. Those are real rough numbers, but that's we want to make sure we get the right person to begin with, and hopefully somebody that will stick around too.
Right.
Is Willmar competitive compensation wise and whatnot, and it's just we're competing with other areas that are also somewhat competitive, or are there do you see other factors playing a role into the draw?
You know, I think in looking at in our area of the state here for pay and benefits, I think is pretty close. It can always be better, and I'll just say that as long as you're all here. But
benefits I think, can't get better.
I think it is pretty close, but you know, sometimes what we've done in the department to try and entice people to come here too is sometimes opportunities within the department that today's workforce isn't necessarily as money driven as satisfaction driven, I'm finding. So what we're doing in our department is some of the specialties like our gang enforcement team, narcotics, a couple of our detectives, our school resource officers, is we're having a rotation period there where they can be in that position for 5 years, and then if somebody else wants the opportunity, we'll try and rotate somebody else in. So that way, you know, most people join a police department to work in uniform and do that, but sometimes after they've been in it for a while, they just are looking for a change. So we have had a few applicants that when I've talked to them about that, they said that's what really drew them to turning in an application here, is just in some departments, you didn't get to become a detective until somebody retired, you know, and that could be 20 years down the road type thing. And here, at least, you know, every so many years, you have a chance at it. We tell people you got to work hard for that chance too, because you're evaluated all the time.
Other questions for you?
Yeah, I was just going to ask a quick question. It's like one of the categories is fight. And then you got school-related incidents. Do these cross, some of the numbers cross over?
They do. It kind of, the dispatch center and the records unit, they will categorize these. A lot of times the dispatchers do. And yeah, sometimes it can be a fight and an officer goes there and somebody has drugs in their pocket. You know, and it depends on, it could be listed as drugs. It could be, sorry, that's my daughter saying softball's done. sometimes they try and pick the most, I'm not finding the right word, the most severe or the highest level category,
right,
and code it that way. So,
okay.
Further questions?
Just looking at the comparisons, are we looking at burglaries?
Mm-hmm.
We're over March from last year, but any significant, do we have a rash of home burglaries or anything going on?
You know, it really didn't seem to be anything like that. I think, I'm trying to go by memory here for March, if it was a couple businesses that were broken into, and there were some garages, I think, but it was scattered around, so it wasn't a particular area there.
Okay. Because, you know, we can get, yeah, all of a sudden you get a couple of guys out doing a bunch of burglaries, and all of a sudden it skews it. And then, suicidal people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that continues to, mental health, things like that are continue to be a huge draw, or, you know, they count for a lot of different calls and stuff on the department there, so.
And we're still getting specialized training.
Yes.
That, like the play acting.
Right, yep, the de-escalation training. So right now we've got, I would say probably, we started the de-escalation training before it was required by the state, so we had a large number of officers trained, but then they added on a couple more requirements. So we probably have about 3/4 of our department through the mandated training that POST requires right now. It's just there's a kind of a limited number of spots to be able to send people, because everybody in the state is doing that right now, because everybody got mandated at the same time. So
sure.
If you're a trainer in it, you're doing very well right now. So.
Fernando?
You're on Nextdoor.
Yes.
That app.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that there were some postings that people have been egged. Have you heard anything about that or followed up on that or seen that on those on the Nextdoor app posts?
You know, I guess I haven't, and I'm guilty of I hadn't seen activity on there for a while, so I haven't been checking it regularly. I know one of our sergeants is on there too, so I'll double check that and just see.
Yeah, yeah, take a look at that.
Okay.
And then do we, I see that, I drove around with a business person the other day and they were pointing out all the graffiti and vandalism.
Mm-hmm.
We have a category for vandalism, or is it just not something we keep track of, or?
That all fits into the criminal damage to property. Okay. So that's, they would, there is a subcategory that they can break down, so we could go into the full record system and pick out exactly the graffiti type things there.
Sure.
But I know that's one thing that we have been working with zoning on is, well, during the winter and the cold and stuff, there some of these businesses and homeowners were a little limited as to painting or pressure washing or things like that to try and get rid of it. So I know that talking with Sarah that they were going to really follow up with that when the weather eventually got a little bit better.
Sure, sure. It's disappointing to see that, but it doesn't really benefit anybody. Not that crime benefits anybody, but that's really disappointing.
Yeah, like Council Member Osma said too, there's probably one person that accounted for about 80% of it downtown, and we managed to get a couple videos of them, poor quality, and just we put it out on Facebook and haven't been able to identify that person yet either. So.
Mm. Thank you, Chief.
You bet.
Spring and summer are right around the corner. That always tends to heat things up just a little bit, both metaphorically and literally, I guess.
Yeah.
But I will put in a little plug. I had an accident about 3 weeks back, and the response time was absolutely incredible. First officer was on scene in 30 seconds, and another two within a minute. So that was a very fast response time, and they were moving around town just as fast to each and every fender bender.
Okay.
That was going on, so I was quite impressed myself. But yeah, I think the team does a great job, every officer I encounter with, and they're out there helping any chance they can get with stalled vehicles or this or that, or stuck vehicles. I saw them out there with shovels, and just great group of guys.
Thank you. I'm blessed with a great team out there, so thank you. I'll pass that along to them.
If there's no other questions, I think we better let the chief go before he gets dispatched out to these softball fields.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll be standing there with a duffel bag going like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you at, Dad?
I'm the last one.
Thank you, chief.
Thank you.
We'll see you. Thank you.
All right. Moving on. Next item on the agenda, crack seal and seal coat bid awards. Our city engineer, Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and back to the agenda. I will, at some point, I will get those times right. That's my goal.
I thought they were good.
They are good, but we're not there.
We got to speed up now.
In front of you is the crack seal, annual crack seal and seal coat bid results. The bid tab is included. This year we are covering, the bid was for 2.34 miles of crack seal and just over 1 mile of seal coat. We got two different low bidders, one for the Camco Inc., $18,000 for the crack seal, and Asphalt Surface Technologies, the amount of $36,305.40. Recommendation would be to award and authorize signatures to each of those two companies.
I can make that motion. We need to do two separate ones.
Probably just for the good of
I think
thorough.
In the past, I mean, it's up to you guys because it's a new rules, if you will, on these committees. In the past, we did motion, second, vote within the committee, but it was obviously for a recommendation to the council. So.
Okay, so I would entertain a motion to award project number 1906 to Camco for the crack sealing contract.
I'll do that.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Discussion around that.
I have a question, just and it doesn't relate to this, but just with what we've had going on with our streets this spring, Do we need to, do we need to do more of this, or will we come back with?
Sure, I can answer that. The if you, the total bid for these, the total budgeted for these two projects was $70,000. These numbers come out to about $54,000, and so I can do, I'm gonna, my plan is to do one of two things, or both of the following. When we get into the project, kind of extend these bids or these amounts by enough to kind of cover more of that budgeted item, as well as my plan is for next year and following years to add $10,000 to $20,000, maybe $15,000 to the total budget for these two items. So doing what we can with what was budgeted for this year.
Just a concern with the snakes and things that are out there. We're the only ones fixing those, right? Or will the county fix county and state, or are we just, what are we fixing?
I think anything within the city limits will end up.
Will end up.
Yep.
So I just was concerned if we needed to move faster on some of those that have literally disappeared.
Yeah, they look funny. I mean, it's not creating damage to the to vehicles or streets. It's just that for whatever reason, and I haven't figured out an answer for it yet, that some of that material has pulled up it pulled itself up somehow, and I haven't been able to come up with an answer yet. It seems worse this year than past years. Maybe it's just on more heavily traveled roads. I don't know the answer to that, but that'll be us.
So I just was concerned if we should take action.
The sweeper will get most of that, because the guys are out cleaning medians and things now too, trying to get some of that stuff up. And so if there's particularly bad areas, I can send the guys out specific for that.
Yeah, my question maybe kind of piggybacks on that. So what I heard is it kind of has to do with that happens when there's a specific freeze thaw, where the liquid gets down underneath and then refreezes, and then they push up and out.
And it's supposed to be hit with a plow, and then you're pulling them out.
Then you pull them out. And so my question is when they do these, do they go over top of any old crack seal that had been done, or do they clean out that crack seal first?
Specs say that they clean it out. They grout it.
Okay.
Now, so to a certain depth. Mm-hmm. If there's stuff below that, obviously they don't make it go all the way down to the base, right. But we do, the specs say that they need to clean it and grout it and make a clean surface for it to adhere to. And then it further says that you actually are supposed to leave the material, rubberized material, slightly below the surface of the driving surface, so that you're not catching it with the plow blade or a scraper.
Which they don't always do such a great job of.
Correct. They try to do it quickly yet efficiently, and sometimes those don't always mesh.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, the geek in me always wants to know exactly how things
work. I understand. Completely understand that.
That's good. Duly noted. Any other questions regarding that? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion to pass it on to the council passes. Now I would entertain a motion to award project 1908 to Asphalt Surface Technologies for the seal coating contract.
I would move to accept the low bid for the project number 1908 for the seal coat for 2019.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any conversation regarding that? Discussion? Seeing none? Oh, you have a question?
You thought you could see I was going to talk.
Well, I could tell. I could see gears turning.
It isn't on this particular thing, but when you were talking about the street sweeper going around and cleaning up, I just, want to go on record or just want to say, that a couple years ago, there was a controversy over purchasing the street sweeper, and somebody wanted to, it was suggested to contract for one. And I just, we're always ahead owning that street sweeper to use it for whatever we need it. I'm glad the city made the decision. And if it ever comes up again, we need to purchase that street sweeper.
I It's going to seem like I paid you to say that, because here's a perfect segue. In 2020, vehicle replacement plan, I'm proposing to add a sweeper. Not okay. replace the one we have, add one. So, and I know I've heard horror stories of the last time that conversation came up.
It was and crazy, so, and I just made me think of it when you were talking about the street sweeper.
So it's like, it's coming again.
We needed to buy that street sweeper.
Go ahead, Audrey.
I think there's some environmental reasons to do that too. When you look at Lakeshore and some of those meetings that I was at in the Lakeshore Association, where we have a great deal of Lakeshore. Keeping whatever we can out and picking up the pace on getting it, I think, for a variety of reasons, both, you know, with that. So I think that's a good option, just that we can handle the streets as soon as possible.
Well, now, especially if we're talking things other than sand and salt, if we're talking strips of rubber.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And other refuse.
Yeah.
But I digressed us, and I'm sure we'll have that conversation when the new street sweeper becomes before us.
Guaranteed.
But wanted to just throw that in.
How many street sweepers do we have?
One.
Just one. Okay.
For 130 miles. Wow. Lane, I'm sorry, 130 centerline miles. So 260 to 270 late curb miles.
Wow. It is a Pelican, though.
Does that make it better?
Yeah, because when we were talking about it, I was like, Pelican. It looks like a Pelican.
Yes, it does. Right. Especially when it dumps.
So, two things, if I understand correctly, like, part of that is a shift issue or staffing issue within Public Works with how many hours they're out and the hours that they work. And so, that's what I think.
Yeah, we'll work through all that.
Pick up the pace with that if we can, but I think we need to recognize that might mean more hours and to be aware of that. And second thing, I was just going to go back now, I lost it. It's gone.
It'll come back.
And talk about the lake. Oh, no, I was going to ask you, I'm sure when we have this conversation at the city council meeting, if you could just do an update on streets. I'm taking phone calls on a variety of streets concerned with how they're breaking up. And I know the frost isn't out yet, but if you could just kind of update the community on the condition of, because I think there is an awareness that our bad streets are worse, and our streets that weren't ready to go are in. So I apologize for losing it there a minute.
There was a, then we'll vote on this, I promise.
Okay.
There was a, oh gosh, what is it? Association of Civil Engineers meeting, the Minnesota chapter. Particular problem across the upper Midwest, especially five states, the Dakotas, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. And basically they had a whole section on how this year busted up streets all across Minnesota and in ways that we haven't seen in years because of cold and precipitation and cold and how that acts. And the synopsis is that I read all lend themselves perfectly to our street repair program that we do have in place, showing that if we take care of, put the money into maintaining our streets before they are to the point of needing that complete reconstruct, we're always way ahead. And it may seem like money that's hard to come up with or whatnot, but they were heavily advocating that saves huge amounts of money down the road. And I think Sean's always been a huge proponent to that. Yeah. Never digressed from that, and
if I may just say, this isn't meant to be a complaint. It's to raise awareness and for us to empower what we can do next.
I will say that my plan is to not be at the April 15th meeting, and so I can do it. But I will plan. I will do that at a future meeting.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, after that, you got one more?
Nope, we have to bid.
Yep.
We have to vote. Bid.
Hope we're not bidding. That's already been done. My bid's going to be different. Okay, we have a motion and a second on awarding 1908 to Asphalt Surface Technologies. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
And that motion passes. And the next item on our agenda, consideration of cooperative construction agreements. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you is two
cooperative construction agreements with Kenai County on projects you are well aware of. One is also got a city number, 1903C, is the overlay of 19th Avenue. We just listed that wrong. Basically from First Street to County Road 5, and the dollar amount involved in that one is a flat rate of $250,000. So that is the first project. The second project is the roundabout, and that is, backing up a little bit. The recommendation would be to approve that cooperative agreement with Kenai County, and the amount is different than that $250,000, is $206,171.12, so less than the $250,000 we originally talked about. Along with that, we are the school is pitching in, one of the schools, Roosevelt, is pitching in some money for a crosswalk and lighted crosswalk, and so that dollar amount will come down slightly for that.
Is that west of the school or immediately south of the school?
South, where the current one is. They're just going to put the flashing beacons on that one as well. CCS declined to do the same thing, although that was offered to them as well, and I'm not entirely sure why, but the last correspondence I got was that the board had declined that to join in on that project.
Can you just ask what the cost was? Any idea?
They were in the 15,000 range, I think.
Okay.
If I remember right.
From what I've heard, their students were crossing at the lights.
And that was my proposal to them last time. They wanted a center median, and I didn't want those, but we offered it to them nonetheless, and sure. they opted to not do that with this project.
That's the fair thing to do, I believe.
The second project in this CAR form is a cooperative construction agreement for the roundabout. That $104,401 includes non-funded projects through the county state aid system. And so it'd be for water and sewer lines in and around that new roundabout that is at the intersection of 19th Avenue and County Road 5.
Any concerns regarding budgeting for either of these?
No. We actually budgeted $250,000 for the 19th Avenue, and so we're in really good shape there. I can't remember what we budgeted for the roundabout, but we can find those dollars.
I had looked, there was no budget listed for the roundabout.
That's believable.
But it's my understanding we can use that it does qualify for the state money, but that would reduce our money.
Yeah.
Or that's available for the bonding kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But your proposal had that street light or the stoplight in there, which you were recommending mm-hmm. we remove,
mm-hmm.
that I know there's been a request for us to reconsider
yeah.
that. But it was also suggested, and I talked with Mr. Oakens about that too, that really fits into the design of the, for the industrial park, and there's industrial park money, that perhaps that stoplight could be funded through the industrial park money, which would free up that money that's the, state aid money
right.
that's available.
There's a number of moving parts here because they're state aid eligible if the justification comes back for them. Well, with the...
You're talking about the stoplight?
The stoplight.
Okay.
Since the sale fell through in the industrial park, it will not be justified at this point. So if it's still determined to be a priority to put one in, yes, we'd have to find funding somewhere else.
Who would make it the priority?
Well, it's council.
Yeah.
Okay. My recommendation is no at this time. Okay, so if you guys tell me different, we'll absolutely do it. But mostly because the funding is not there, not as easily attainable. The other moving part of the state aid funds is, and I think you're right, because we can spend our state aid funds on state aid routes that are counties, but they can't do it the other way around. It's kind of a weird deal. But we're also at the meeting asking to add Civic Center Drive as a state aid route to help fund that overlay. And so we're still fine with our state aid dollar amount, but it's a little different than what I originally proposed for where those are coming from.
The conversation that I was part of, just with the roundabout being done and with the Y being done, that still was going to be the location that needed a stoplight, whether that, you know, whatever happens there, and just to get it done and so that it was all done would make the industrial park more
at Wilmer,
desirable.
At Wilmer and Five?
Wherever
is that
was
what you
at.
Mean?
Is
yeah.
it Wilmer and Five, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether that's something we want to bring back to the council to see if it's something they want to do this year, or, you know.
Yeah, because I hadn't heard that conversation to do it anyway, but.
Well, just a question, because I know it was when you presented it, you had removed it,
mm-hmm.
but perhaps we should just have that conversation as a council so that we know what we want to do. And I don't know from, you know, from a development standpoint, if, you know, if that's the right thing to do or not. I mean, we were required to do it because of that pending sale, and so if there are other sales and it was done, maybe that would be a better thing. Than to have to come back and require it again, because we would have to still have to pay for it then too.
Well, except that the reason it was in their purchase agreement, I'm sorry, but by it being in their purchase agreement, they generated enough traffic to justify it so that it could be fit, potentially justified it, so the state aid would cover it.
So I think I had asked this question when we had that presentation with the Y and when Mr. Odens was here, but that's, it still will need, I mean,
it's still the right location for
traffic.
Yep.
With, we expect more traffic on that road after the roundabout and why and that it would just make sense to do. So I'm just one person. I just think maybe the council should be.
Well, and as that park fills, that is the location that will be the busiest location.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever something slated for 40 and 5? County Road 40 mm-hmm. and
asked about that one.
It was always Wilmer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Since
okay.
they closed,
because
they closed the old through there,
right?
I mean,
right.
It became a T.
Right.
Because Wilmer is the extension of 23 to the east, right? And so,
yeah.
That's why it's quite busy, that intersection is.
And maybe instead of just leaving it up to the council, maybe that's a question for the development in Aaron Backlin.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be beneficial to have that light done now, or does it matter?
What's the downside to waiting a year or two? Without the demand coming from the industrial park at this time, and nothing's going to get built that big within a year if that wasn't done until next year, because that work's getting done there now this year. I mean,
yeah,
is that the
just
purpose?
Kind of that, and that it is a there. I mean, it is a traffic problem. It's my understanding. I think you're right with that. Development would have made it more with that.
Right.
So, you know, I think just the concept you're going to be tearing up both ends. Why not be done instead of doing it a year later, you know, kind of thing. I don't know. From a safety standpoint.
I don't think accidents at that intersection justify anything.
That's only part of the justification process.
Okay.
And, yeah, we just had one, 3 days ago.
Yeah,
but.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, but you're right. The number of accidents at this point doesn't. And I hate to say it that way because it makes it sound like you can't get a signal until you have accidents. And I don't mean it to sound that way, but it's part of the process.
Right.
Traffic numbers and volume is a big part.
It was in the plan and
yep.
you know, does it merit a conversation? But I think there is a way to pay for it without using our street money, I guess is what I was thinking.
And then this becomes a priority, is it a priority to use those funds for that instead of something else? Yep.
I fully agree with the concept of, I don't see it as the project being scrapped, I just see it as being a separate discussion from, you know, these two kind of fit hand in hand together.
Yes.
And as long as...
But
our
the pot of money kind of rolls around that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to wait and see what Sean thought about, you know, if these two fit together nicely to push, okay, then we go ahead with these, and then that's a separate conversation that we can have.
We'll bring up another meeting.
Separately. Mm-hmm. So I would entertain a motion for 1903C in the amount of $206,071.12 to approve the cooperative construction agreement with Candlehead County.
Don't mention that.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion passes. And I would then also entertain a motion to approve the cooperative construction agreement with Candlehead County in the amount of $104,401 for the County Road 515 roundabout.
I would move to agree with that cooperative agreement for the construction
second.
Of the roundabout.
A motion and a second. Discussion regarding that project. No further discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion does pass. Those will be heard by the council. And final item that I see on our agenda, portable generator purchase. Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In front of you is the is a purchase for an additional, I want to make sure that you know that, generator, portable generator, trailer mounted generator for the wastewater treatment. These generators are used, will be used for during power outages to run lift stations, and we have gained 7 or 9, I think, lift stations around Eagle Lake, so we have 24 lift stations now within the city, and the additional generator has become fairly apparent. The need for the additional generators become fairly apparent. We got two quotes, and again, I'm not sure that was 100% necessary because they are both from the cooperative buying agreements. The recommendation would be go with the Caterpillar Tier 4 portable diesel generator from Ziegler in the amount of $66,552.05. We had budgeted $70,000 for this purchase.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we'll go with questions, Julie.
Okay, I'm not finding it, but when I read through this before, I saw something where we had 23 generators and there was 3 pump stations that we wouldn't be able to, that we needed one more for the other 3.
Well, and I think that's kind of what we tried to indicate in the history on the car form.
It maybe that was where I saw it.
21 of the 24 lift stations during power outages. It says, so maybe that's meant to indicate that we can't get to 3 of them. Because it says, currently only have 1 generator equipped to supply power to 21 of the 24. And I can find those numbers out for
okay.
sure.
Okay, and so this generator would just get us to 22 then?
No, I think this would aid in those, because you got 1 to try to go to 21 different generators. Now we'd have, or lift stations rather, now we'd have 2 to use as needed.
Got
on
it.
Those 21 different lift
okay,
stations.
Okay, I didn't know how many lift stations the generator powered off of. Okay.
So this is essentially a mechanical insurance policy.
Yes, it is. And the fact that it's trailer mounted, it's not only for, I mean, it could be used by other departments if needed.
For other things.
Right. But the lift stations are the most critical ones in that type of storm event or power outage event.
I know your last sentence says that, because Ziegler's was just a little bit higher.
Yep.
The specifications were better.
Yep.
Any particular comments on that or not?
I can copy this and we can put it in the minutes. I had Jim put together differences, and just in general, or in summary, the power output of the CAT, or the Ziegler one, is higher. The physical size is smaller. The weight is lighter. The noise is smaller. The only thing that looks like on this list that Jim gave me that the Cummins has over the CAT is that the warranty is longer on the Cummins.
That's fine.
We can put this in the minutes
judgment,
if you want.
I was just curious.
I was too when I read through, read through it again right before the meeting.
I have confidence that when choosing their equipment, they look over the specifications very carefully, and when they're choosing their stuff, they choose stuff that they believe is going to work and work
yep.
well. So, I would entertain a motion to approve the purchase of the CAT Tier 1 portable diesel generator from Zig.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and second. Further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And that motion passes. That's all I have for you tonight, Mr. Chair. Okay, with no other items on our agenda, then we'll go to open discussion.
Just a question. What are we doing by the medical center on First Street? They're putting some sort of almost look like a street or like a base of a
on First Street.
IACMC on.
I don't know.
Look like a light pole or something.
I haven't driven
or
that
almost
today.
Almost like a stoplight kind of base kind of thing, but It's been working on that for a few weeks.
Huh.
Don't know.
By the fire hall there?
No, out out of past Wilmer and First Street. Where the traffic goes across.
Oh.
I can't remember what we asked them to do with their parking.
Did you say by the medical
there.
Center?
By the medical center. ACMC.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I know further south on First Street, some of the fiber or telephone or something was redoing some of their lines.
About by Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is on the Office south Maxson. Side of their entrance.
So yeah, I don't know.
I didn't know, because I couldn't remember what it was triggering in me as we talked about the safety there and
yep.
when they were doing the surgery center, and I thought we were requiring them to do some safety things with in and out of the parking lot, and so I was just curious if this was some of that.
Yeah, we've no doubt had, you know, one calls and located utilities there, so I can find out pretty easily, but I don't
it's
know.
It's not a new base for a new sign, an updated sign.
It's
is
right
it?
By the, I don't know, it looks like a, it looks
right
like a base
curb.
Of a, it's just to the, when you turn out, it's just right to the right.
I'm
going to
check it out right after this meeting. Because I don't know.
I was just curious. So, inquiring minds want to know.
Yep.
Any other discussion for the good of the order? With none, I would entertain a motion to go.
Sorry, can I just put something on the record? I know.
I almost hit off.
I was going to say 20.
Okay, because this was a conversation that I believe we had off record at the city council meeting, but we've had questions about it, is who owns the road by Culver's going to Cub Foods, because there's like a monster pothole in there and they think it's the city.
Culver's.
And so we looked it up.
You go to It's
yeah.
Cub. I think
yeah.
we've done it in that.
Oh, that goes across?
In between Office
yes.
and Culver's.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's private.
Yes, and that's what I told the
yep.
people who called me, but I don't, just so it.
And it gets bad
so that
every
we
year.
Discussed it yep. and that it's up to the private owner of that.
Private
road.
Establishment to privately fill their private pot.
Yeah, there, I mean, I think it could take
it
a
could,
car.
Yeah, it could be one of those that your wheel disappeared.
Yeah.
I think it is Cub.
It's the same area also because there's a stormwater
mm-hmm.
retention pond there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mess.
And that's off, there's one that's Office Max and I think one that's Cub.
Yeah,
and
one
it runs
one
that whole way. It
mm-hmm.
looks really trashy the whole way.
We've had conversations with them just about annually to clean it up.
I know, had that conversation before.
Regarding a pothole, like, is there anything, does the city have, are there any kind of, I mean, I know if it was a private, if it was like a PUD or something like that, residential, is there any difference in the fact that it's a commercial in terms of something the city can do or ask or?
No, because I think ultimately we could do the same thing we do with mowing complaints and snow removal is do it and bill them. But we haven't gone that route just because we've got plenty of our own to do. But
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it gets taken care of because of the complaints to the private entity that owns it.
Right.
I don't think they know who owns it.
Well,
to know who to complain to.
That's very possible. And I thought I would call it up here, but
I think call it up. I think we're still recording, so maybe if we call it up, then we can maybe, you know, just verify who the owner of that street is and clarify that it is not Wilmer.
Well, we know it's not.
No.
Correct.
It's a real estate company out of Osagis. So I've had a lot of calls this week.
It owns which one?
You've had a lot of calls this week.
The one between Culver's and Cub.
Yep.
It's a property owner that doesn't own Culver's. They don't own Cub. It's just random.
Oh, it's like a property management company.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Why would they just own the street?
I have no idea. So the manager of Culver's is sending actual letters to this owner now, trying to get them to contact him about getting it patched. So
who owns the retention pond?
Same company.
It's usually a trust.
Slower.
Because sometimes trusts hang on to their private streets.
Yeah.
After the property sell off.
So if it's the same company that owns that stormwater thing? Isn't there something we can do?
I don't think it is.
I mean, it has to be frustrating for the owners of the businesses, too.
Well, you'd think it would be a liability. Well, it's not liability to them, it's liability to the property management company.
I'm just saying.
I mean, if the front of my vehicle goes down in there, yeah.
No, but if you, I mean, it's pretty trashy there, you know, with that stormwater thing. And people assume that the stormwater things are the city's responsibility.
I know, which is why, one reason I don't like to do it at all, but it's a necessity. All right, well, as typical, I end up with issues with computers when we're meeting.
Well, you know who it is.
You do need Rossi.
So what do you have to do? I mean, with, how do you intervene and just...
Yeah, how do we intervene?
What are you telling people?
It's hard because you tell them your hands are tied. We can't go in and patch it, but
Can you pass along contact information or no?
I don't even have any.
Oh, you don't?
So I have directed them to the county assessor's office in case they might have any contact information in their files. But they...
It doesn't come up on GIS?
Just the address.
Right, just the address.
Schmidt Family Real Estate LLC in Slayton, Minnesota.
I'm still confused with how. So, what did they own that they own that street? They sold off the other pieces?
They probably owned more of the land and then sold it off.
Because super value, that's Cub. Oh, and that pond right along 19th is also there.
So, they don't own another building? Like.
Nope.
No, it's very random.
It is random.
And so, that other piece next to Cub, is that Culver's?
Which one?
Yeah, the empty one.
Yeah.
Okay, and then who owns the building next to
the
office?
Do they get rent or something from the businesses?
That's just it. I have no clue.
James Rust.
Okay.
I would have been curious to see who did the snow removal
there
in the winter, too.
The stormwater pond were probably pieces of larger chunks of land, wouldn't you guess?
Well, I can't remember if it did it go in when Cub went in or did it go in when Office Max went in. That's what I don't know. Because I thought this pond was Office Max, but that's not true.
So, I mean, what would be their incentive to fix the road? Who?
None.
So, who are they giving access to?
Yeah, the access
the purpose of the road?
Cub.
So I think it's
Cub
and
Culver's.
Well, but Culver's has
access?
Another one here.
Yeah.
Is Cub paying this company?
Actually, that's Cub.
Right. Why would they want to maintain this road? Unless they're getting money from somebody.
So, Cub owns it all the way out to 19th behind Culver's. But obviously nobody uses this route to get to Cub. But
so could that road technically get ground down to gravel and there be nothing anybody can do about it because it is their road?
Private, yeah, and it's not blocking access to anybody officially. It would limit Culver's to one access and it would limit Cub to one.
You would think, though, that when Culver's purchased that or when Cub purchased that they wouldn't put their access there without having some agreement.
Right, and I don't know the history there.
Interesting.
But it sounds like
aren't you glad I brought it up?
Well, it sounds like a potential problem, though.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go home and write an email. Or write a letter.
Yeah, and we've, like I said, I don't know what the phone calls were today, but we've had conversation with them. Daryl's had conversation with them on the stormwater stuff from the pond. And
so let's say these people walk over, or you know, whatever. I mean, what's the value of it other than to repair it? They must be getting money somewhere in order to do that. But if they walked away from it, it doesn't really qualify as a street, does it?
No, it would be an access. You know, at that point, does those three owners, Culver's, Paffrath, and Cub, share cost and duties and maintenance on it? I don't know.
Nice question, Julie.
Chief, thanks.
Yeah.
How does taxation work into there then? Now, if they obviously pay taxes.
This Schmidt family does, yep.
So they're current on their taxes.
I assume.
Because if they defaulted, then it wouldn't still be held by them. So they're paying taxes on the land.
They have to be making money off of the people who are, have access off of it.
Well, because it is of value.
Otherwise, why would you?
I own a street in Wilmer. I own a driveway in
Wilmer. It would be pretty cool. I own a road.
I have to pay taxes stormwater. On it maintained.
I own a stormwater pond.
I mean, I'm do we ask the city administrator to send a letter to the property owner?
Well, we can. Sometimes we get better luck if we have an attorney sign it.
Well, Scott.
We've tried that before too.
With the ditch.
Both at this point. I mean, you might as well do both of them.
So could you, before you did that, could you contact Cub and Culver's and say, you know, this is a safety issue and we're going to have to shut this off? Do you have some relationship with this guy or can we do those kinds of things?
Yeah, we can pull some easement records and find out if there's anything that we have and try to track some of that down.
My understanding is we're going to have to get a zip code for that pothole.
I don't understand this.
Julie just brought us down the rabbit hole.
You got any more, Julie? I know there are more out there.
I was going to say, no, I can't handle any more of these. Not tonight. And I certainly know Kelsey can.
That's been a big one, though.
Well, yeah. That has to be, I mean, this has to be a frustration for staff to just take these calls and say, I'm sorry, we can't do anything. Because something should be done.
Although I can sort of see it because, I mean, like our parking lot, for example, we have a lot of through traffic, even though we mark it both ways. No through traffic, no trucks, whatever, but we still get traffic, we still get trucks. If we get a massive pothole in there, we're on the hook to fix it. And we're going to be feeling like we've got to pay to fix it because if somebody jumps on there and their bumper gets all mashed up into their hood, they might come after us, and then it's our insurance company, and then our insurance goes up. And
you own the building and the property. This is one where there's nothing there.
Yeah, but I would say
it was an outlot.
Yeah.
And these four lots were all part of the Schmidt subdivision.
Where Culver's is.
Culver's, Paffrath, and these two.
Did Cub buy from there too? Because that road was put in when Cub was put in.
Cub's a different plat.
Weird.
Huh. It seems like that. You can follow the lines and you can sort of see what was original.
I would have to believe that Culver's has some kind of a financial relationship with the Schmidt family for access into their place.
Right. They wouldn't have an inn.
Unless the Schmidt edition in one square.
It's like the state of Wyoming.
Okay.
So then it's probably Culver's that has a relationship, not necessarily Cubs.
Because Cubs' access is behind Culver's right here for their plat.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You didn't know, did you?
Well, I knew it wasn't good.
Too. It's bad.
It's huge.
All right, any further business for the good or the order? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
It is...
Yeah, I'll let you do it this time.
22.